Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to our live stream guests. And our special guests, have everybody seen Brandy and Brecken have came to visit us? And, well, probably not me, maybe, but and we're glad you're here to worship with us. And we're glad everybody's here, really. I mean, just think if you weren't here. I know, we'd just be not here. So this tomorrow is we celebrate Memorial Day. And so I had, there's always, to me, there's mixed, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day. And Memorial Day is really for those that have died in combat, basically men and women. So I've got an unknown quote from an unknown person. Our flag does not fly because the wind moves it. It flies with the last breath of each soldier who died protecting it. So I thought that was kind of a way to explain that a little better. And exciting news, Pastor Joe will be here on, it's like a week away, and I'm really excited about that. You should be too, because we're getting really close to me not messing up the bulletin for the next, I don't know, hopefully at least 5 years, right? I don't have to mess that up. So I'm excited about that for sure, and I'm sure Verna is too. And she's not even here. Thank you, Wayne, for all that you've done for this congregation. We really appreciate your willingness to serve and leading us again today in worship. And that's all the announcements I have, so let's worship.
Yes, good morning on this Memorial Day. As Tracy mentioned, the memorial is to remember those who have paid the price. And as Christians, every day or every Sunday, we remember Jesus Christ who paid the price for our freedom, right? Freedom from sin. And so it's a fitting day. So I wish you not necessarily a happy Memorial Day, but a meaningful one. Now, also, I noted that today's gospel, it takes place during the Feast of Booths. And there was a long hiatus between, after the time of Joshua, they quit doing the Feast of Booths. They quit doing almost everything. And then when they came back from the Babylonian exile, they started doing it again. Similarly, we are going to use the common service today. We've kind of been in exile from that. It's been about 5 years of my best recollection. Now, you old-timers, this is going to be like falling off a log. I hope, no, more like riding a bicycle, that you'll remember what's going on. So you'll have to lead the new timers through this maybe a little bit, and I might be that new timer. But we're going to use the common service. It'll start on page 25. And if we trip and stumble, why, we'll just get up and go some more. So please rise. We begin the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Send forth, O God, your good grace, and sanctify our bodies, souls, and spirits. Turn our thoughts to holiness, so that with pure conscience we may offer to you the sacrifice of praise through the mercy and compassion of your only begotten Son, with whom you are also blessed, together with your holy and good and quickening Spirit, now and always. Amen. Let us sing the first hymn, number 129, Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Forgive the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and clean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Whereupon we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God, and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
The introit this morning will be a responsive reading. The Spirit of the Lord filleth the world. Alleluia.
Let the righteous be glad.
Let them rejoice before God.
Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice.
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered.
Let them also that hate him be overcome.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord, you only, O Christ, with the Holy are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with you.
Let us pray. O God, who didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp, and a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to them, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them? And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The psalm reading is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 15. We're going to do that responsively, and it's on page 121 and hopefully on the board as well. So. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed.
Make me know thy ways, Lord. Teach me thy paths.
Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day.
Remember, O Lord, my compassion and my loving kindness, for they have been from of old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord, therefore in all the earth, he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness, and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great.
Who is a man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose.
His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land.
The secret of the Lord is to those who fear him, and he will make them to those his covenant.
My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am
the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses.
And look on my affliction and forgive all my sins.
Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred.
Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in thee.
Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. The epistle lesson is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Perithians and Medes and Elamites, and the residents of the Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all my flesh, on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Alleluia, alleluia, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Alleluia, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle them in the fire of love, thy love. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The gospel today is in John chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart flows rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet had been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here ends the gospel. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. and I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue with hymn 124. Heavenly Father, we come to you with our hearts, our eyes, our ears. Open them, Lord. Illumine us. Make us ready to see your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Water! Water! That's the only line I can remember from a melodrama that I once participated in. And it wasn't even my line. There was another guy who came across the stage and he was just stumbling, stretching, water. He did it so well, I guess that's the only one I can remember. You know, water's really important for us as human beings. You know, even those who espouse some extreme fasting allows its adherents to drink water. Generally, one can survive without water for about 3 days. With food, you can probably go a few weeks. Depends on your storage unit before and other things, I suppose. But, you know, you need the water. And so water is something that we can really relate to. And it's prevalent throughout Scripture. In fact, the second verse of the Bible, chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then, as last mentioned in Genesis or Revelation 22, the first verse says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." And this, in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. So water is really the theme of our Christian life. Now today's text, as I mentioned earlier, it occurs at the Festival of Booths, or the Festival of Tabernacles, and it was initiated in Leviticus 23, and the purpose of it was so they would remember the water that flowed from the rock at Horeb, specifically, and then later named Massah and Meribah. But then when they got to the promised land, and they thought, we've arrived, we don't need God anymore, he got us here, they quit doing all those things. And you remember then the judges, and everybody did right with his own eyes, and they forgot about many of the things that went on. Well, then they came back after the Babylonian captivity, and then Nehemiah 8, it says, and all those, and the assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and lived in them. So therefore the Feast of Booths. For from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to the day the people Israel to that day the people of Israel had not done so, and there was great rejoicing. And from that day, the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rules. So they kind of rediscovered what they were supposed to do. When they got back, again, they felt that euphoria because God had led them back. And so they started observing this and apparently continued to do this all the way until the time of Jesus. And one of the ways they did it at his time is that each morning of the feast, the priest would go to a fountain, fill a golden pitcher with water, and took it to the altar and poured it together with a pitcher of wine into two perforated flat bowls. I don't know what happened to it after that, but they were perforated, so it went through. But at that time, then the trumpet sounded, and the people sang from Isaiah 12, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And this went on each day for 7 days. So it's against that backdrop, that's what was going on, that Jesus stood up and cried out to those present. So there was no doubt who was making this offer of living water. A quick review of the whole chapter of 7. It says in the verse that Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. And in verse 8, he told his brother, "You go to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." And then in 10, after his brothers had gone to the feast, he also went up, not publicly, but in private. And then in 14, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and began teaching. So you can see the progress of that. And then in 32 of chapter 7, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him. The chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. So this is a dangerous time for Jesus. But yet, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up, cried out, so there's no doubt, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Water was a prevalent thing in that feast, and so he capitalized on that thought process and that paradigm. And he addressed it to all people present. He said, "Anyone." And so that invitation is throughout all generations to come. It's even here today. Does anyone thirst? Come. Now, I don't know, it's a suggestion. You guys can take this and do it. I'd like to hear how it goes. Next time you get in a big crowd, stand up and with a loud voice say, "Is anyone thirsty? Come to Jesus Christ and drink from the living water." You might be surprised what happens. You might be surprised. Maybe they will send officers to arrest you. But maybe people will come. Maybe they will come. That's an exciting time when people say, "Hey, I want to talk to you about that." So thirst is also, we hear about this living water from chapter 4 of John, at the woman at the well, when Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And then they go back and forth like a Samaritan, or all that. But Jesus said in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water. And then 13, everyone who drinks of the water will, of this water, that's what she was drawing out of the well, what we think of water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. So this water is supernatural powers. And then the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up in him. So that theme started in at the woman at the well in Samaria, carried all the way through with Jesus to Jerusalem when he stood up and said that. In chapter 6, John said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then in 37 of our chapter, he says, come to me and drink. So when he makes that statement, he wants people to all of a sudden come to a spiritual realization that they need something. They need that water. And they desire for some spiritual relief. And secondly, he wants to say, you have a need, I'm the solution. That's what we have to do too, right? We have to acknowledge we have a need, who the solution is. So, that's all we have to do is come and drink. Together, those things, spiritually speaking, believe in him. And he says, leave this other stuff behind. All those things were just pointing to me. Now, celebrate me. Come to me. He knew the condition of that assembly. In Psalm 42, the sons of Korah say, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Flowing streams, same thing, living waters. You know, it's got movement. Living waters. And so he knew their condition. He knows our condition. He knows our need. You know, St. Paul writes in Romans, all have sinned. If you can't acknowledge this, sermon's over for you. And the wages of sin is death. If you don't agree with that, might as well stop here. But if you do acknowledge you have sin and what the consequences, spiritual death, eternal death, hell, then we continue. We know we need a Savior. If you recognize that, the gospel message is for you. And on the cross, we see Christ paying, suffering the price for us, as it says in Revelation, it's without price. It's only without price for us because he has paid that price. And it was a separation for God. You know, we read through, even if we read all the accounts of the crucifixion, we could probably do it in 5 minutes max. He hung there for hours. It went dark. He was still there. Supernatural darkness, but for hours. And finally he said, why have you forsaken me? Why? Why? He cries. Of course, we know why. It's us. It's our sin. That's why he had that separation. Our sin. So then what's our price to us? Nothing except our friend paid it. All we need to do is believe. Come to him. Believe. In John 11, Jesus said to when he raised Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That was the question for her. That's the question for us today. Do you believe that? So that's the first verse. He's talking to everybody. He's trying to get them into a mode of coming to him. And then his focus narrows because he says, might as well quote it if I can, which it doesn't look like I can. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So now it's just for those who believe. If those are some people out in the crowd, no doubt didn't believe that. So it's like, okay, we'll work with you later. But now those of you who do believe, this is what's going to happen. Out of your heart will flow living water, which is good. It begins with a drink from him. In Isaiah 58, it says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So it begins with that drink. It ends with rivers. It's plural even, rivers. The effects of our taking in that living water, we become the conduit and rivers flow out of us. It's our Christian influence to those around us. Maybe it's just saying, wow, this is really great. I see how a Christian lives. I need to be more like that. Or what makes you act like that? What is it that you have? What's your hope? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Be ready for an answer for the hope that is within you. So that's those rivers that go out. And as we noted in the beginning of John, that chapter 7, Jesus didn't go there until it was his time. Similarly with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come to us before it his time. And Jesus talks about that. John talks about that in the next verse when he says, he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So you can look back even in the Old Testament and you'll see the Spirit working. But this is a different work here, or a different purpose here, because now, after Jesus is glorified, our purpose is different, right? We know that. We know who he is. Up till then, it's just you could believe in that promise. And even while Jesus was here, we were just still believing in the promise of salvation. The prophecies had to be fulfilled before the gospel message could be proclaimed. It's like you're getting all completely filled up with full of ammunition, so that way you're ready to go out, target it, and make it effective. Otherwise, you are only preaching or telling about a promise to come. But then, at the culmination of his glorification at the ascension, Jesus instructed his disciples, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. And that's the power that we celebrate today, acknowledge with Pentecost. For them, those who received his word were baptized. Well, I shouldn't stop. I should start earlier. Pentecost is when the Spirit came upon the disciples. And then they started preaching it forward. So what happened to those who received faith at that time? Same thing, right? And we see that all the way through Acts, where that river started flowing. In chapter 2, verse 41, those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And then 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number by those, day by day, those who were being saved. In 5:14, it says, more than ever, believers were added to their number, multitudes of both men and women, So you can see those rivers flowing in various directions. And they've flowed by the direction and the power of the Spirit ever since, all the way to us. So let's not be the ones who throws a dam in front of the Spirit, right? Let's not quench the Spirit. Let's use the Spirit. Be used by the Spirit. You know, Jesus prayed for us as he did for his disciples those last nights. I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe. That's what our task is here. For us, baptism, our baptism was that water. Water in the word and the Spirit. We can only believe because of those things. So how does the Spirit work? Well, according to the explanation of the third article, he calls us. Ephesians 5. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, to this he called you through our gospel. You see them working together, the Spirit and the gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he calls us, and then he enlightens us, according to 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. His word is truth, and he sanctifies and preserves us. 2 Thessalonians 2, again, God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And in Hebrews 10, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. See how he looks at us now? It's his desire that he looks at everybody in the world in that way, as if we had never sinned. So the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. They're not independent from each other. In Romans 10, we are told that we are to use the Word to tell others about Jesus. You know, we can tell our personal experience, but there's something different when the Spirit has the Holy Word of God to work with. So I encourage you to use Scripture whenever possible. And read the Word and hear the Word for yourself again and again. So the Spirit has this Word to work in our hearts so that we may be not only sanctified, but encouraged, urged, spurred on, so that we can be preserved in true faith, teaching and guiding, correcting and comforting. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. But without being in the Word, how can he bring that to our remembrance? So I encourage you, read more. Read with each other so you can encourage one another. Hold each other a little accountable. Have you been reading? What have you been reading about? So then he sent the world, the Holy Spirit, not just to work faith in us, but also to have us work in faith. He is called the Holy Spirit for two reasons. One is he's God, and God is Spirit, and God is holy, so obviously Holy Spirit. But secondly is because of what he does. He is a holying spirit. I made that word up. One who makes you holy. Holying spirit. That's what he works in our lives. So what's our response? Romans 12 says, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Another translation says, fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. But when it comes down to it, our spirit by itself cannot be fervent. It cannot even believe without the Holy Spirit working in us. And so by his Spirit, then we are able to serve the Lord. Again, in Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then the instruction, let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. So first the Spirit says, come. And then we come and drink. And then our instruction is to tell others, come. One who hears, that's us. Keep the living water flowing through you. In the People's Bible, Gary Baumler summarizes it this way. God's Holy Spirit leads thirsty souls to Jesus. He works the faith that drinks the refreshment Jesus offers. The Spirit enters the heart of a believer, and the believer calls others to learn of Jesus. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. Amen. Let's continue with the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Offering for the general fund of this congregation will be received. Lord, we thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, upon those at that first Pentecost. Lord, we just pray that as that those rivers of living water have flowed throughout generations, that we would also be spurred on to be a part of that flowing. And so we just thank you for all those things that you have given us spiritually. We also thank you for the things that you have bestowed upon us physically for this world. Lord, as we return a part of this, we pray that your blessing would be upon it, that it be used for your glory and for your good purpose. We continue to pray for those in our congregation in need of healing, of those who are shut in, of those who are on the cradle roll, who have only begun a life with you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in their lives and those around them, that as they grow, they may learn of you and recognize how they too can be used by you in various ways. We pray for the church council who has seen us through these 11 months without pastor. We thank you for all the work that they have done. And we also thank you for the call committee who have done their work, been used by you. We thank you for those nights and calls and all those things that they have done following your direction. And now we thank you also for that answer to prayer. We pray that the Frecks would look forward to their coming here as much as we do look forward for their arriving. And so as they pack up and leave friends behind, that they may look forward to being used by you and new friends in this congregation. And so we also pray for that whole process, give them safe travels as they come many miles. And so we just pray for all those things, because we know that you love us and care for us. And we continue to pray for those in our nation, for our government, for world leaders, that you would lead and guide each one of them, that they may seek you. They may come to you thirsty and leave from you satisfied, never to thirst again. May they seek your wisdom, Lord, and in your wisdom, peace. We pray for graduates who are advancing to higher education or to employment. May they seek your will and be willing and able to follow what you have in mind for them. Make it clear to each one of them. And we also pray for those who have served in the military and for those who continue to give their lives for our freedom. Also for their families, guard and protect them. We thank you for on this Memorial Day weekend for those who have given their lives that we may have this freedom. We thank you for all those things and continue to pray the prayer that your Son Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
We conclude this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and hymn number 633. Go in peace and serve the Lord.